We're going to take it from the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. There is a meditation here that's called the two standards, or the two banners. It's kind of appropriate for this day. It starts off by saying we should kind of make an image, try to get an image into our minds of these two groups. All right, number one, you have Lucifer on his side with his flag, with his agents, his demons, right, his followers. We should try to picture him sitting on his throne, right? It's a place in hell, very dark, flames everywhere. Try to imagine the sounds that are going out there, the chaos that's in the midst of all of that, and how he and his are planning to destroy those who belong to the Lord. Now he's we don't want to say king, because we don't want to give him the glory. He's a fool, right? He's the king of fools, okay? The king of fools, because he has rejected the Lord of all beauty and love. So he's there, and he's full of hatred. All of his are full of hatred, and all they wish to do is divide, conquer, destroy, separate us from the love of God. So in our meditation, that would be one thing that we can think about. Just think about that, and how that should affect us. Now another image that we should have is trying to see Jesus, our beautiful Jesus, maybe sitting on his throne, or if you wish, maybe his throne could be the cross, and how he looks at all of his followers, looking at them with love, looking at them with concern, asking them and looking for those who would be generous enough to follow him, to fight for his kingdom, to give their, you know, their honor for the love of the Lord. Try to picture who are those who are following him, all the saints. How have they lived their lives? How have they served their king? The sacrifices they made in love to be able to be close to their king, their hearts, how they must have burned with love for Jesus, and how their hearts must have hated anything that had to do with sin. Now these are like the two images that we can have before our Lord today. And we have to start to ask ourselves, okay, where am I in this picture? Where am I in this picture? Am I like, at one point, I'm with the devil on his side, at another time, I'm with Christ and his, then I'm going back and forth, then I cross the line again, then I'm with Satan again, then I cross the line again, then I'm with Christ again? Or have I made a solid decision, a determined decision in my life to follow Christ? Come what may, my decision is to be with the Lord. Everyone here, you know, you have different vocations. You have kids here, young children here. You have married people here. You have priests, you have religious here, etc., etc., no? So everyone can look in his own personal situation of life. And remember, Satan, when he sends out all of his, he goes to everybody. And everyone will be attacked in their way. Young people, you will be attacked. Okay? You little guys, you need to know this. You need to know this now. You need to know that there's an enemy and that there's a best friend. And you need to know that the devil is the enemy. He exists. He's real. And he's very, very astute. He knows how to make himself invisible. He knows how to talk to us without us knowing that voice that we're listening to is coming from him. We need to know this. So we have to be constantly aware of what's going on in our minds, because our minds, you know, in our hearts, that's the battleground. I start to think of things, then I start to desire things, and then I start to do things. Now listen, young people, I'm going to tell you how the devil scored a goal on me. When I was your age, more or less your age, he's always very smart. One day, I saw my brother put $30 in my mom's bedroom, because he had to pay like $30 as like rent. I saw that he put a $20 bill and a $10 bill on her dresser. So all of a sudden, this is the voice that came to my mind. Look, if you take a dollar bill and take the $10 bill, place it where the $10 bill is, there's going to be a bit of confusion there. Now your mom is going to see that, and instead of seeing $30, she's going to see $21. And when she sees that, she's going to go to your brother, and she's going to say to him, look, you made a mistake. Instead of a 10, you gave me a $1 bill. This is genius. I mean, you're thinking about it, it's genius the way you got into it. I bought it hook, line, and sinker. It was, yeah, I can make $9 on this deal. So anyway, I did it. I took the $10 bill, and I replaced it with a $1 bill. And then everything went just the way I heard it. She looked. She saw that it wasn't the 10. She went to my brother. My brother started to look at it. I could have sworn I gave you a 10. Started to look into his wallet. Got confusion there. All of a sudden, you know, he gave her another 10. And I got away with the 9. And my mother said, I was just saying, when did that confusion come? They'll probably come to you and ask you, do you know anything about this? And my mom came to me and asked me, do you know anything about this? I just kind of think stupid. No, I don't know anything about that, Mom. And all of a sudden, I lied. You see, from stealing, now I'm starting to lie. And now I thought I got away with it. To this day, my brother doesn't know it. Me and my brother knows that I stole, that I did that. I did confess it. But it's there. And look, now the Lord, you know, he's very just, merciful and just. So I had to make reparation for that. So when I made, well, I'm not going to get into the story, but I made a lot of money once in the stock market, like $100,000. And that was around the same time when I had got my vocation to be a priest. Now I'm about poverty. So when I made all that money, I never saw a penny of it. And when I had to take the vow of poverty, I took all that money and I gave it to my brother. So he made out big time, right? So this is why I didn't tell him. He made out big time, right? So we're going to leave that in the past and need God's mercy. Look at, look how smart that, I mean, look how evil and how clever that was. Oh, look at, you can do that. He told you the whole plan. You just put it all before me. He said, it's going to work. And I was stupid enough to believe it. But I didn't pray. I didn't think about Jesus. My mistake. What was my mistake? I didn't think about the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not steal. If I would have just thought about that, ooh, I shouldn't steal. That's bad. It's wrong. I don't want to do that, Lord. I would have conquered that temptation, right? So, Lord, the devil knows how to get into each and every one of us. He knows our weak points, and he's after us. And we have to know that. He's invisible. He knows how to make himself invisible, and he works. He works. And he starts to implant little ideas into our minds. Now, Christ is the same way. He's there. He's very meek and humble of heart, and he starts to speak to us as well. He talks to our hearts. You know, the difference between the devil and God is the devil always puts us into the movie that never ends, the never-ending movie, you know. He puts us into that movie, and he gives us, he works on our imagination, and he gives us, like, half-truths, and he keeps us there. We're going in that circle, yeah, that would be great, yeah, that would be great, yeah, that would be great. Nothing ever comes out of it. But Christ, on the other hand, he starts to talk to our hearts, and he gives us reason, solid truths. He uses his word to tell us, thou shalt not steal. He tells us, I love you. I died for you. Are you willing to follow me? Are you willing to imitate me? And now comes the decision. All right? I start to pray. I start to hear the two voices in my head. And now I have to decide. This is why we're making this decision, because after this Thanksgiving, everything is going to come to an end. All the graces that you have here, the community life that you have here, the talks that you have here, the time before Jesus, it's all going to stop. Now you're going to have to decide when you go back out there, what am I going to choose to do? And I say this all the time. For those of you who do not go to daily Mass, today, our Mass, he's asking you, are you willing to look at your daily schedule and make a choice for him? I want to receive you every day if it's possible. If it's not possible, he knows it's not possible. You don't have to worry about that. But if I have an opportunity to go to daily Mass to receive Jesus as my King so that he can sit on my throne, the throne that's in my heart, and he could start to rule my day, my thoughts, my activities, everything I need to do. There was a sign here from Father Raphael. I think that was pretty good. You can meditate on that as well. He goes, you know, before you make any decision, action, or word, you You know, you have to ask yourself, what's the basis for this in the gospel? You see, that is my criteria. If Christ is my king, the word of God is always going to be my criteria. I want to serve the king. I'm going to look into the word of God. I'm going to see what the word of God is telling me. I'm thinking about doing this. What does the word of God tell me to do? I'm thinking about doing that. What does the word of God tell me to do? I'm starting to feel all these feelings. But what does the word of God tell you to do with these feelings? Etc., etc. And now you're starting to start to know the Lord a little bit more. But remember, like I said the other day, no love serve. I need, before I even go to Mass or adoration or anything else, I need to talk to the Lord. I need to listen to what the Lord tells me. Once again, the scripture. As my prayer life starts to get better, I will start to understand what the Lord is asking of me, what He wants me to do. I'm going to start to pick up His, I'm going to get on His wavelength. I'm going to put the Wi-Fi on, you know, the spiritual Wi-Fi. And all of a sudden, a Wi-Fi rather, sorry. It's not Spanish one. Wi-Fi, Wi-Fi, right? I've got to get on level. I've got to get connected, right? We've got to be connected. If there's no connection, there's no Mr. Google, right? Well, if I'm not connected spiritually with the Lord, there's no Christ, there's no grace, there's no inspiration. So I need to be connected with the Lord, and prayer is what it does. Now, I just want to read a little bit of what he says here, so you can kind of get his own words. He said there's like 3 points. He goes, first, the standard of Satan, he says, consider how he summons innumerable demons and scatters them, some to the city, some to another, throughout the whole world, so that no province, no place, and no state of life, no individual is overlooked. No one is overlooked. He has all of us in his sight. The second point, it says, consider the address he makes to his demons, how he goads them on to lay snares for men and bind them with chains. First, they are to tempt them to covet riches, as Satan himself is accustomed to do in most cases, that they may the more easily attain the empty honors of this world, and then come to overweening pride. The first step then will be riches, the second honors, the third pride. From these three steps, the evil one leads to all other vices. Money, I need money, I got a mammon, I need to work more, I need to think about me, myself, and I. You know, it's very funny, pride. What's the middle letter in the word pride? I. What's the middle letter in the word Lucifer? I. What's the middle letter in the word sin? I. What's the middle letter of the word idiot? I. They all go together, my dear friends. They all go together. And that's what he tries to do with us, you know. He tries to get us proud, so we become more like him, so that we think that we are gods. That leads us to every other sin, and then we become fools like he is the fool, the king of fools, right? So we don't want to do this. We want to avoid him. Christ is the total opposite. Now it goes on to say the standard of Christ. It says here, consider how the Lord of all the world chooses so many persons. Chooses you. Today, you're mine. Oh, wow, you're going to hear about that phrase right now. You today, you're mine. Follow me. Ooh. And he's going to say that to each and every one of you. You today, follow me if you wish to be my servant. Do I wish to be his servant? How he chooses so many persons, apostles, disciples, etc., married people, and seeks them, children, and seeks them throughout the whole world to spread his sacred doctrine among all men, no matter what their state or condition. Apostles, messengers, young people who know their faith and are trying to live their faith and have the courage to speak to other young people about their faith. married couples who know their faith, who are formed in their faith, and are not afraid to speak to other married people about their faith. You know, I tell you, I have this great, great blessing in Oslo. I think I told you this the other day. I always said it to some of you are in the homily, but it was with the, it was one day I was called. There was a baby that was dying. Did I say that to you yesterday? No. But there was a baby that someone called me up and they said, look, I have a friend, they're in the hospital right now. Okay, we're believers, we're part of Opus Dei, but my friends, they're not married and they don't have any faith, and they had a baby that was 5 months premature and the baby's dying. So I talked to them and I, you know, kind of convinced them to get baptism for the baby. So I went over, I was all happy, and gave the little baby baptism, and gave him confirmation. The boy looked like he was about to die. It really looked like he was born about to die. The doctors had like no hope in any recovery. The next day I invited them to go to Mass, they went to Mass. I talked to them afterwards, you know, they're crying, and you know, you do the best you possibly can, and you just start all this. You know, God's will is going to be done. 4 months later, I think this is really interesting how God let me see this. I think let me see this, so I preach this often. From a moment that's very difficult, that's a difficult moment, no faith, it's a difficult moment. 4 months later, I get a call from the same man, John, his name. He said, Father, I don't know if you know this, but Mark, the little boy, he's still in the hospital, and he's better, and the parents want to talk to you. The next day I went to the hospital, the baby has grown, it's got nice and chubby, it's all better, and the doctors don't know what's going on, but the baby's there and he's about to go home, and the parents are happy. About 5 months after that, I had July off as for vacations. I started work on the 1st of August. I took all the lists down of visiting my patients there. I went to one man, there was like a young man there, was about his 30s. He goes, Father, you're the American priest that baptized Mark? I went, yeah, that's me. He goes, I don't know if you know this or not, but their parents are getting married in the church today. Oh. Isn't that? I always like, oh, man, you know, I got a chance to send them a message, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But I thought that was very, very curious how God let me see those particular moments. You know, normally you don't see what happens afterwards. It's like, he let me see them. If he let me see them, he wants us to know, look, for moments that could be difficult, where Satan starts to go in there, evil seems to be reigning, death, sickness is all around, alright? In those moments, what do I need to do when Satan is attacking, when his army is attacking, when I feel that everything is all over, and not even God can save me now? Which makes me think of another story. I love this story. I'm going to say it to you because it's a good story. And you want to think about it and apply it to your mind. Where? One day I was with my friends at the beginning of my conversion. I was playing pool, like, you know, billiards, you know. And I had to play for money. So we had like money on the table. I was down to the last shot. It was the 8 ball. I had a few balls. It's a long shot. I had to get into the left corner pocket. You know, I don't like these shots because I never shoot these things straight. But anyway, I hit it nice and soft. It hit the 8 ball. The 8 ball rolls and it stops like right there. And the cue ball just kept on rolling, and stopped like right there. And I go, ah, man, Lord, what an idiot I am. I just gave my friend the game. And my friend, he's looking at me, you know. He starts cueing up the ball, and he looks at me with such proud confidence. He goes to me, not even your God can save you now. And as soon as he said this, it's the stick. Hit the ball, the cue ball, and the cue ball just moved like this, and it stopped just right there. And I said, oh yeah, my God can't save me now. Watch this, click. It fell in, he turned deathly pale, he's stiff as a stone, his mouth wide open, his eyes open, he took the money, but oh, you shouldn't tempt the Lord, you should not tempt the Lord. Listen, I mean, that's a real story, that's a real story. I mean, I'm not exaggerating. If I had a videotape, you would see it's even better. You would have saw it in real life, it would be even better. But listen, not even your God can save you now. Where? What voice? Where does that come from? Who says that? The devil. Not even your God can save you now. There's no hope. It's impossible. We've got to remember those moments. Did any of you young people or older people, we have those moments in life where you kind of think something that is good, you may be praying for, it seems impossible. Well, if it hasn't come, it will, right? If it hasn't come, it will. God is there. He reigns. His love reigns. God is good all the time. He knows what we need. Remember the story with the baby. From a situation that can be very difficult God can draw many, many, many graces. We'll go on to the second point here. He says, sorry, the third point, it says, consider the address which Christ our Lord makes to all his servants and friends. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Am I a friend of God? Am I Christ's friend? Friends like to spend time together. Friends speak to their friends. Friends listen to what their friends have to say to them. The friends, there's a certain union with their friends. Communion. Frequent communion with their friends. Which he makes to his servants and friends, whom he sends on this enterprise, recommending to them to seek to help all. God wants to help all people, not just about think about ourselves. First, by attracting them to the higher spiritual poverty, and should it please the divine majesty, and should he deign to choose them for it, even to actual poverty. Secondly, they should lead them to the desire for insults and contempt, for from these spring humility. You ready for that? You ready for the poverty? You ready to give it all up? To really give things up to the point where it's going to start to hurt? Are you ready to ask the Lord with a sincere heart, Lord, give me an insult today. Give me someone that's going to look at me and despise me today. So I can die. So that I in me can die and I can become more humble. Hence, there will be three steps. First, poverty as opposed to riches. The second, insults or contempt as opposed to honors of this world. The third, humility as opposed to pride. From these three steps, let them lead men to all other virtues. Alright? I'm going to leave you with that. Now we can make a little examination of conscience today on the feast of Christ the King. Do I really want to serve you? Am I ready to be mocked for the love of God? Am I ready to do things that seem crazy for the love of God? Little story. When I was working once, and listen to young people, when I was working at my job, you know, there was a lot of people that were taking God's name in vain. A lot of bad things were going on in the job that I was working in his warehouse. All of a sudden, God gave me the idea. Oh, I got to do this in both things and the inspirations. Even if they seem crazy, why don't you make a picture? Put my picture on there, so I put Jesus carrying the cross on a piece of white paper, and underneath I wrote the following: please do not take my name in vain. I love you so much, I died for you. I was the first one at work the following day, made photocopies, and I put them all over the place, all over the walls. And all of a sudden, what the heck am I doing? And all of a sudden they walk in, they're starting to look at this, well, this is not a church there, you know what I mean? This is not a church. We can speak whatever we can say whatever we want to say. They went up to the boss. The boss came up to me, Father, what are you doing? I say, these guys are, they say that they have the right to take the Lord's name in vain and speak however they want. Don't I have the right not to hear this? Silence. You see what you say? When you're the truth, you're the truth. You silence people. Then you have to start making excuses that they're justified. They're just taking out stress. They don't really mean anything by it. All of a sudden, they start to do like bad things with the pictures, so I had to take all the pictures down. And I took them down, but the message was made. Are you guys ready to do the foolish so that God can do the impossible? Are you ready to do the foolish so that God can do the impossible? Why does evil always attack? Attack, attack. Why does the good just kind of sit there and do nothing? Listen, I'm going to tell you a story as well. It was very good. Father Matthews told me the other day. There's a producer in Spain, Juan Manuel Cotelo, right? Juan Manuel Cotelo. And he made the Footprints, Mary's Land, all that. And he received an email once from this one guy that was a drug addict. He was like living on the streets. And one day, some guy came up to him and goes, look, I'll give you 600 euros if you get me a consecrated host. I'll give you 600 euros if you give me a consecrated host. Like I said, no, I'll do it. I went to Mass and I confessed.
went to communion, received communion.
After that, he gave it to this man. So anyway, afterwards, he said, every time I come back, I give you $600 more. So when I come back, you just get me one. So he was saying, oh, this is going to be easy. Now I can buy my drugs, I have my little life, $600, easy stuff. Now, he was kind of smart because he said, look, maybe the Lord, see, maybe even the Lord was working on him. And he goes, he got this inspiration, well, I don't want to sit there and match for half hour or hour, so I'm just going to go to one of these stores and I'm going to buy a packet of hosts. So when the guy comes, I'll just give him a host, right? He had no faith whatsoever. So anyway, the next time the guy came around, like 3 days later, he gave the guy another host. The guy left. I think the same night he came back to him, they looked for him, him with another of his friends, and they beat the living daylights out of him. And they grabbed him by the neck, and they said, we want Jesus, not a piece of bread. Listen to that, man. This people who follow Satan, who are on Satan's side, they know it's Jesus. They believe it's Jesus. They're willing to do bad things to hurt Jesus. Are we willing to do things to defend Jesus? Can we say, that's Jesus? It's not a piece of bread. Guys, listen. I scream this all the time. You have to ask yourself that question. Do I really believe that's him? Yes or no? I have to ask that question. If I say I believe, yes, Lord, I believe it's you. The next question, do I love him? You have to ask, you have to do this. Because if you believe in him, it's a grace that God has given you. He's given you the gift of faith. And if you believe it's him, the next step, love him. How do you love him? I want to be with him. I spend time with him. I want to receive him. I talk about him. I look for every opportunity that I possibly can to speak about the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist. You start talking like this. You scream, you shout, you know, you do whatever you got to do to catch people's attention. You've got to move the masses. Right? It's not about just screaming and shouting. You've got to move the masses with the truth. I need to look into my heart. If I believe that's Jesus and I do nothing for him, what am I going to look like on the day of judgment? What have we done for him? That's why I love the home of the mother. You know, this is the defense of missions. I love the missions. Right? The defense of the Eucharist. To defend the Eucharist, I need to love the Eucharist. If I don't love the Eucharist, I'm not going to defend the Eucharist. I only defend what I love, what I'm jealous of, what I want, what I possess, what's dear to me. When I love that, I now have the strength of love. And it's the strength of love that helps me to defend it. And it's the strength of love that makes me convincing. It's not just about talking about him. I'm going to talk if you... No. You've got to be with him. He's got to live in you. His love has to be there. Look, all of us are imperfect. But if we're working on perfecting ourselves, if we're going to him, if we're asking mercy from the King of Mercy, he gives it to us. He wipes us clean. He makes us stronger. And then we can unite ourselves to him. And then he starts to take possession of our hearts. Little by little, our hearts, our minds. Now I start to think about Jesus. Now my conversation is with God and the angels. Now I start to leave the things of the world behind. Now I start to get into a true relationship with the Lord. Now my prayer is not just a monologue. Now it turns into a dialogue. Now I say something, I listen, I hear, I respond. He gives me inspiration. Do this. That's what I got to do. I do it. And good things happen afterwards. Are we ready to do this? Who is my master? Who do I serve? Do I think I'm serving Jesus, but in reality, I'm serving Satan, the world, and the flesh? Who am I really serving in my life? Guys, remember, when I say this, I'm not picking on you guys. I'm not. It's just my way of trying to get you guys to say, okay, I got to answer this question. I have to be honest with myself, with God, and answer the question. And if I'm not doing it, I have to start now. Look, the other day, I was taking the Blessed Sacrament back from the church to the sisters' convent. My two sisters were in front of me. It was a beautiful night. Everything was silent and tranquil. I had the Lord next to my heart. And we're walking. Everything was just so beautiful. You know, just kind of talking with the Lord. All of a sudden, we walk up the stairs, and as the sister opens the door, I hear two screams. There was two girls, two girls were there. They were at the same time, they wanted to open up the door, you know? And as the sister opened up the door, well, they got a shock. It was funny, as I walked through, I said, remember, you know, you do not know the hour or the place. The Lord's coming. You have to be ready at all times. I would say, you know, if the Lord was to call us right now, would we scream? Or would he say, yes, Lord, take me now, I'm ready. Am I prepared for that moment, for the meeting, for the account, for my encounter with the divine bridegroom? Am I prepared for that? You know, how is my heart? Is it longing for him? Guys, listen, in the hospital, I was talking today with some of the people at the table here. If you don't live a life of prayer and sacraments, you're not going to ask for them when you're dying. I go to people and they don't even have a clue as what the sacraments are. They don't ask for them. They don't want them. I'm fine, Father. I don't need that. If I don't know that that's Jesus, if I don't have the habit of loving him, if I'm truly not in love with him, wanting to receive him daily as much as I possibly can, I'm not going to be thinking about him on the day of my death. I'm not going to be thinking about it. I'm going to think about everything else except him. That I'm going to him. And what happened? Well, everything starts, my whole life starts to pass by. All of those moments that I had to confess my sin. One of my favorite Catholic stuff, and you can watch this when you get back home, is the one on death. It's very funny and it's very, very good. There was this one part where the presenter, Pablo, he dies. All of a sudden, he's in this black room. And all of a sudden, this figure comes up to him. And he says, where am I? He goes, you died. You are now in the waiting room of love. Is that what it is? The waiting room of love. And you're going to be judged by love. Oh, man, when I heard that for the first time, I was like, wow. You're going to be judged by love. And you see him getting all nervous. I'm going to be judged by love. Am I loving? How has my life been in loving? I also give you this, too. Read in Corinthians, like it's 1 Corinthians 13, the hymn of love. You don't know that one. Love is kind, love is merciful, love is patient. What you can do with that is an excellent examination of conscience. You can say, okay, love is kind, love is merciful, love is patient. You can put Jesus' name. Jesus is kind, loving, merciful. Fits perfectly. And you put Mother Mary in there. Mother Mary is kind, loving, merciful. Fits perfectly in our. Put your name in there. Ooh, oy. Father Henry, are you love, kind, and merciful? How much are you? How much are you not? And then I spend my judgment there. Can I put my name in that hymn and everything is the way it ought to be? How far am I from this one? How far am I from that virtue? Am I close to this one? Practicing this one pretty good, but this one, whoa, this one, no. How am I doing in love? If I want to become love, I need to be united to love. This is the sacrament of love. We all need love, right? Love fulfills, love transforms, love forgives, love does everything. So if I want to live like Jesus, I need to choose today, now, not tomorrow, tomorrow, Lord, now, to be with him. To start to say, Jesus, okay, I am where I am in my faith. I have no faith. I'm struggling with my faith. You start, Jesus, come into my life today. Now, give me the grace to increase my faith, increase my knowledge of who you are, so I can start to taste you, to love you, to follow you, Lord, to be able to make those sacrifices of love that you're asking of me. Remember, I said this the other day, I'm not going to carry no cross if I don't know I'm loved. When I'm loved, I can carry any cross. That cross doesn't even seem like a cross anymore, because love is the only thing that I can see. Well, that's Our Lady who knew that love, who experienced that love in a very, very rich way, very profound way. May she help us discover that love. She is our mother, Mother Mary. She teaches us how to pray. She always leads us to Jesus, and she obtains for us very, very special favors. So we should ask her, Mama, teach me to pray. Teach me to know your son. Teach me to love your son. Make me capable to truly be practicing, coherent, Catholic, holy Catholic.